जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, जमुना तीर वनचारी, जमुना तीर वनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, जमुना तीर वनचारी, जमुना तीर वनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गौर प्रेमानंदी हरि हरि गो। जय ओम विष्णुपद परम परमहंस परब्रजगाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद श्रील अभय चरणान भक्ति वीरांत साई महाराज श्री भूपाल की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नाम आचार्य श्रील ठाकुर हरिदास की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौ भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। वृंदावन धाम की जय। नवदीप मायापुर धाम की जय। गंगा देवी की जय। यमुना मयी की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी रानी की जय। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। इस्कान बीबीथी संस्थापक आचार्य श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। गौ प्रेमानंदे श्री श्री गौरनिता की जय। श्री श्री कृष्ण बलराम की जय। श्री ललिता विशाखा सहित राधा श्याम सुंदर की जय। ऑल ग्लोरी श्री समुद्र गोचीस। ऑल ग्लोरी श्री समुद्र गोचीस। ऑल ग्लोरी श्री समुद्र गोचीस। All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Jai Shri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टदृशामेष पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः। दिस् इस् ग्रन्थराज श्रीमद्भागवतम् 10th canto chapter 27 which is entitled Indra and Surabhi offer prayers or something to that effect, and today we're on text number 2. We heard in the end of the last chapter that The cowherds, the animals, the women, children, they were all suffering from the thunder and the storms. And in that condition, they surrendered to Krishna. Krishna became full of compassion. And although he was overcome with compassion, he showed bravery. And he was undisturbed, and he smiled. He smiled scornfully at Lord Indra. And in that mood, he lifted the hill with his left hand, without any effort, just as a child holds up a frog's umbrella. And Shukdev Goswami also became overwhelmed with astonishment, with joy, with enthusiasm, and faith. And he marveled over the fact that Krishna protected Vraja in this way. So he glorified Krishna as the conqueror of Indra's pride. And then he prays, may Krishna show such love for me. On attaining such love, I will attain also the position following the people of Vraja. He speaks of the mood of the Vrajavasis. And here it's quoted the Shruti Mantra, Rig Veda, actually. As soon as Krishna was born, being a hero, he began to have enemies and undertook many battles. In the form of Govardhan, he easily consumed piles and piles of foodstuffs. And he stopped the attacking clouds because Krishna stopped the attacking clouds because he lifted up the mountain very easily. Ashamed of having attacked Vrindavan with a violent storm, Indra secretly came before Krishna, offered his obeisances and praised him. That's what we're going to hear today. So, Sridhar Swami has summarized the content of this chapter. He says, Saptavimshe tadalakshya krishnasya prabhavam param varnyate surabhindradbhyam abhisheka mahotsava. That in this 27th chapter, it's pointed out for us that the transcendental power of Krishna and bravery of Krishna. And it's described the Abhishek Mahotsava of performed by Indra along with Surabhi. Without Surabhi, it would not have happened. When Indra arrived on the scene, Indra was a little bit, he had some trepidation. He was fearful. But when Surabhi arrived on the scene, she was joyful. It's a difference. In the two consciousnesses of these two individuals. Okay, so please repeat. Vivikta upasangamya vridata kritahelanaha pasparsha padayoho enam kiritena arkavarshasa Vivikta upasangamya vriditaha krita helanaha pasparsha pada yorenam kiritenarka varchasa vivikta upasangamya Vridita krita helana pasparsha pada yorenam kiritenarka varchasa vivikta upasangamya vridita krita helana pasparsha pada yorenam Kirite narga varchasa. Vivikta upasangamya. Vridata krita henanaha. Pasparsha pala yorenam. Kirite narga varchasa. Vivikta upasangamya vridita krita henanaham pasparsha pada yorenam kirite narka varchasa. Ladies, vivikta upasangamya vridita krita henanaham pasparsha pada yorenam kirite narka varchasa. Vivikta upasangamya vridataha krita helanaham pasparsha pada yorenam kirite narka varchasa. Vivikta, sorry, that's vivikte, in a solitary place, upasangamya, approaching, vridataha, ashamed, kritahelanaham, having committed offense, pasparsha, he touched, padayoho, upon his feet, enam, him, kiritena, with his helmet, arka, like the sun, virchasa, the effulgence of which. Translation, Indra was very ashamed of having offended the Lord. Approaching him in a solitary place, Indra fell down and lay his helmet, whose effulgence was as brilliant as the sun, upon the Lord's lotus feet. Kindly repeat. Indra was very ashamed of having offended the Lord. Approaching him in a solitary place, Indra fell down and lay his helmet, whose effulgence was as brilliant as the sun, upon the Lord's lotus feet. Purport by the servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The specific solitary place where Indra approached Sri Krishna is mentioned by the sage Sri Vaishampayana in the Harivamsa. Vishnu Parva, chapter 19, text 3. Sada darshoba vishtam vai govartana shilatale. He saw him, Krishna, sitting at the base of Govardhan Hill. From the commentaries of the Acharyas, we understand that Lord Krishna wanted to provide a solitary meeting for Indra so that he would not be further humiliated. Indra came to surrender and beg forgiveness, and the Lord allowed him to do so privately. Om Ajnana Timanantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namam Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upakadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutaparakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitam Shchab He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpatarupyascha Kripa Sindhupya Evacha Patitanam Pavanepyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Madhvavira Vigopala Sui Kuryat Kripayayani Tadaiva Sampayaha Pitwa Hrishe Yustat Priyajanaha Tatrendra Agatya Kim Kritavans Tadaha Ivivikta Upasangam Yetyadina Athaha Surabhirityataha Praktanena Grantena Viviktea Kante Padayoho Pasparshanamashchakara. Sridhar Swami says, this explains what Indra did upon arriving there by saying Vivikta Upasangamya, etc. So, Surabhi, Vivikta means alone, ekante. And Sridhar Swami's own commentator, Vamshidhara, he writes, ekante jana sammardrahita sthale. Very nicely stated. Especially after Kartik, I'm sure we can all relate. Jana sammarda rahita sthala. A place freed from the crush of the crowds. Sammarda means the pressing and crushing you. So, prakarta sthale mam drishtva loka hasyantiti bhiteriti bhava. His mood was, if people see me in an open place, then they're going to laugh at me, Indra. He had this pride. When you're in charge of too many things, that's always the risk. So, vivikta iti. So he was in this solitary place. Among other things, Sanatana Goswami has said here that Indra wasn't only afraid that the gopas might laugh at him, but he was actually afraid that the gopas might even curse him, because he really committed very, very serious offenses to all of them. So Jiva Goswami furthermore says that with both of them arriving, Surabhi and Indra, that is, Indra's first priority was to find a quiet place where he could actually surrender to Krishna and beg for forgiveness. He had an excess of false pride, and because of this, he thought the cowherds might see me falling at Krishna's feet. So he wanted to do this in a solitary place. It seemed that he hadn't fully surrendered his false pride. But a person, a shameless person, will act like this, he says. So he touched the Lord's feet with his crown, but not with his head. Why? Why did he touch the Lord's feet with his crown, but not with his head? According to Jiva Goswami, he found it insufferable to directly touch his head to the Lord's lotus feet due to so much embarrassment. So he really was embarrassed, humbled, but in his own way he came to offer obeisances and beg forgiveness. So why was he so embarrassed? Why was he so so ashamed of himself that he wouldn't even touch his head directly to the Lord's lotus feet? Vridita means shame, ashamed. Krita helena, that's the next word here, means he knew, I have committed an offense. Krita helena, very clear. Elsewhere, Jiva Goswami also writes that Indra met Krishna in a solitary place because the devatas had no arrangement for publicly appearing in Gokula. In general, they're not supposed to be there. And as is always the case, they're behind the scenes, managing everything. Just like Radha Golokananda Maharaj. He's everything managing, but you don't see him so much in the front. He's behind somewhere. So demigods, they can be like that also. They have this quality. So Krishna was alone because Krishna wanted to be alone. He wanted to give Indra an out, as they say, so that Indra could come in. Alone in a humble mood, he could come in say what he had to say. So Krishna saw that Indra and Surabhi were coming from afar, and so he arranged that I'll go someplace private. Those who are doing Govardhan Parikrama, you know, on the other side of Govardhan, after you go around Punchari, then you'll come near Jatipura. That's where all these places are there. The Airavata Kund is there, Airavata's footprint is there, Indra Kund is there, the Indra Pujasthala is also there. This happened in the Indra Pujasthala, on the side of Govardhan Hill. It's even now, it's still a fairly remote part of Govardhan Hill. And then, of course, the Abhisheka Mahotsava, which is mentioned here also, that happened, but not exactly there. Airavata put the water from Mandakini Ganga, the celestial Ganges, into his kunda, Airavata Kunda, on the west side of Govardhan, but the Abhishek happened on the east side of Govardhan. So how does that happen? How is it so? I don't have a ready answer, but, you know, that's what we hear. Some people say that that the Abhishek also happened at Indra Kund and those places, but Indra Kund was actually filled with the tears of Indra. He was so remorseful at this time that he filled up an entire kunda with his tears. Just like Srila Prabhupada writes in the third canto, I think it is, the ocean of material existence is comprised of all the tears of the suffering jivas who are inhabiting this world. So Indra was very, very much remorseful. And Surabhi filled up this Mandakini Ganga in a kund, and or Airavata, I think, did this. And then Indra filled the tears with Indra Kund. And then on the other side at Govinda Kund, they actually performed the Abhishek. That's when Krishna became the Lord of the cows. Gavam Indra iti Govindaha. Govinda means he's the king of the cows, or king of the cowherds. And Jiva Goswami has explained that since all the demigods are within the body of the cow, therefore, Krishna is also the Lord of all the demigods. Madhvacharya says, Varadesha Varaprada. He's the boon giver to those persons who are giving boons. Everybody goes to demigods to ask their boons. But Krishna is the one who supplies the demigods themselves with their power. So Krishna was automatically the Lord of Indra also. And here Indra is not exactly showing that, but he's demonstrating that in private. And evidently, Krishna felt that there was some degree of remorse in Indra. This is important for us because we also do the kinds of things that Indra does. Indra has done all kinds of things, we know from the Shastra. And we also do those kinds of things. And here, Indra has grievously offended not only the Lord, but I would say especially the Lord's devotees, the cows, the Vrijavasis, the land of Braj itself. Grievous offenses he's committed. But Krishna saw some good quality in him. Sati, I believe, in the fourth canto, she says about Lord Shiva that this is the quality of any great soul, that even a flaw, that person can turn it into a good quality somehow. Indra was doing the wrong thing, and he was doing it with the wrong motivation. Sometimes we do the right thing, but with the wrong motivation. Sometimes we do the wrong thing with the right motivation. Sometimes we do the wrong thing for the wrong reason. And that was what Indra was doing here. And sometimes, very rarely, we do the right thing for the right reasons. But in either case, Krishna may be kind to us, or Krishna may not be kind to us. We'll say more about that in a moment. But, so he came like this. And he had gone to Brahma for advice about what to do, and Brahma suggested that, why don't you take Surabhi with you? Because he's called Gopal, the Lord of the cows. How can he ever be unkind if there's a cow there? Just another evidence of the extreme value of cows. So on the advice of Surabhi that it would be better if he met Krishna alone in a humble mood, Indra met Krishna alone without her. But it's through her that he got in there, because she actually offered her prayers and her respects to Krishna first, and that softened him up, we can say. Another reason that Indra was ashamed is because he had offended the Lord by his bad words and actions, as we said. He laid on the ground with his crown touching Krishna's feet. Indra's crown shone like the sun because it reflected the splendor of the Lord's lotus feet. Even Rupa Goswami says, Nikita Shruti Mauli Ratnamala Duty Niraj Dapada Pungajanta Ayi Mukta Kulai Rupasyamanam Paritastwam Harinam Asamshriyami. He says, I take shelter, complete shelter of the Lord's holy name, because the crest jewels that are the Upanishads are offering oddity to this holy name. Nikila Shruti Ratnam Mala Duty. And the effulgence from those jewels are illumined by the Lord's toenails. So, something like that. Indra's crown was, here it's described, Artika Varchasa, having the effulgence of the sun, because of, according to Jiva Goswami, because of its proximity to Lord Krishna's feet. Srinath Chakravarti, in the previous text, he explains, Golokat Surabhi Lokat, Natu Golokakhya Vaikuntat. That means, Surabhi had come from where? Where did she come from? Surabhi. Surabhi Loka. But this is not, when it says, although it said Golokat, she came from Goloka. Goloka in a general sense means cow world. So any place that's for the cows, you can call it Goloka. Not to Golokakhya Vaikuntat, but he qualifies it, doesn't mean she came from the spiritual world. This is Surabhi here in the material world. There are two, I mean, all of us have two forms. We have our mundane form and we have our spiritual form. Demigods have their mundane forms and they have their spiritual forms. Surabhi has her mundane form and she has her spiritual form in Goloka also. Goloka meaning Krishna's planet, Krishna Loka. So, but this was not Surabhi from Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna Loka. Why? She came from the Goloka in this world, Surabhi Loka in this world, because Indra had offended all the Vrajavasis, all of Krishna's, the residents of Krishna Loka, he had offended all of them by this dastardly act that he performed. So she came in this mundane expansion. That's one thing. And then, yeah, we've heard the rest of it. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, once Krishna went out in the morning alone to see to what extent Indra's thunderbolts and lightning had damaged Govardhan Hill. And this gave Indra the opportunity to meet Krishna in a solitary place. The specific place is mentioned in the Harivamsa, as we heard from the purport already. Sada darshobhavishtam vai Govardhana Shilatale. And in fact, that place, if you go there, Indra Pujasthala, it is on the side of Govardhan Hill, just at the base of Govardhan Hill. You can't walk on it because it's actually part of Govardhan Hill, but it's the base. So Surabhi had sent Indra with a suggestion, go alone without your elephant carrier and in a humble mood offer obeisances at Krishna's lotus feet and you can get relief from your offense. So he followed that. Now, here it's stated also, very interesting, this Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur adding, by his glance, Krishna told Indra, O king of the demigods, I see that you have unprecedented affection for me. You've come to show mercy to me who have offended you by stopping your worship. How Krishna reciprocates with us. Would you be ready to hear this from Krishna after committing such an offense? But this is what he said. It seems to me it's even worse than what he said to Bhrigu Muni when Bhrigu Muni kicked him in the chest. You know, I've offended you. Thank you for coming to see me anyway, even though I've stopped your Krishna speaking like this. And Indra knows very well, and Krishna also knows very well what the real situation is. So Indra's just digging in a little bit, just to humiliate him. But he's doing so in private. So the message is very clear, but he's not humiliating Indra because he's kind. Krishna has all these wonderful qualities. Some of us have some qualities. All of us have some qualities, but we have flaws also. Krishna is the only person who has only qualities and no flaws. So this is why we worship Krishna. And even though Krishna is all-powerful and all-knowing and all-famous and all-everything, but he's also all-merciful. We find people who are very powerful in this world, and they know a lot also, and they're famous also, but they may not be kind. Krishna is a very kind person. Only out of kindness, he has spared Indra from the shame, further shame. But just so that it's unmistakably clear to Indra, he spoke like this, so that Indra would become ashamed. Vriditaha, this is the word that's used here. So, Srila Prabhupada often says throughout his books, there are accidents even on royal roads. Even if you're a demigod, what to speak of anybody else who may have some good qualities? You may be famous, you may be wealthy, you may be beautiful for a while. But all these things will be lost. And the real danger is this. As long as we are in this material world, means as long as we're in material consciousness, there's any chance, that actually there's every chance that we will commit some offense, as Indra has done here. This is the danger. This is why Srila Prabhupada is constantly urging us, do not remain in the Kanishta Adhikar. It's a very tenuous circumstance. What does Shankaracharya say about this? Nalani gata dala jalam aditaralam tadva jivitam atishaya chapalam. This life is like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. Can you please put down your cell phone, sir? Thank you. This life is like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. Anytime, anything can happen. There's no guarantee. And we see that. We've all lost people suddenly and unfairly. It happens. The world is like that. There's no guarantees, no promises. And Krishna tells us this. Dukkhalayama shashvatam. So there's no promise that everything is always going to be nice. We may be tested in a very serious way. We would be fortunate to be so tested by Krishna himself. But usually, because we're so insignificant, he just deputes the material energy to do that on his behalf. So, stavakastava chaturmukhadayo bhavaka hi bhagavan bhavadayaha sevakaha shatamukhadayaha sura vasudeva yadite kadavayam. This is what Rupa Goswami has quoted from a poet named Dhananjaya in his Padyavali. O my Lord Vasudeva, if you have hymnists such as Lord Brahma, affectionate admirers such as Lord Shiva, and the gods such as Indra as your servants, then who are we? This is the idea. These are great souls. We should not belittle Indra, even though the Shastra shares with us all the details of his lesser moments. But we should not belittle him. He's far superior to most of us. All these demigods are so far superior, we can't even imagine. And yet still, these things can happen. So sometimes Krishna will reciprocate with us when we display our lesser human tendencies. And sometimes he will be kind to us, as he was in this case with Indra. He won't humiliate us. And sometimes he can be very hard with us. It's said that the nature of a great soul is that he can be harder than a thunderbolt, but softer than a rose. The same person on occasion. And we see this with Srila Prabhupada also. When necessary, Srila Prabhupada could be very, very uncompromising, very unsparing. And at other times he could be so kind, even when it wasn't deserved. One devotee in Mumbai, I think it was, I've heard it told, the same story has been told about different devotees, but as I heard it from Tamal Krishna Goswami, he was doing so many nonsense things as a devotee in the temple, so many nonsense things he did. And finally they found him, he was trying to learn some magic tricks so that he could become a bogus yogi and cheat people out of their money, which he would then keep. Uttamal Krishna Goswami went to Srila Prabhupada and told him all these things we've been tolerating for so many years, and he doesn't have any inclination to give them up. What do we do with this person? And Prabhupada said, you don't understand the mercy of Lord Nityananda is infinite. Infinite. Certainly it's our own saving grace that Srila Prabhupada's kindness upon us is infinite. All of us have done things that we're not proud of. And all of us have maintained material attachments also that we should not be proud of. But still, we are allowed to sit here in Vrindavan and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Not just Srimad Bhagavatam, but Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, the Bhaktivedanta purports of the spotless Purana. It doesn't get any better than this. We are here, somehow or other, by causeless mercy only. We're able to sit here, despite all of our flaws, and despite our, as we said earlier, our very strong tendency to do the wrong things for the wrong reason, still we're here. This is only causeless mercy. So, sometimes the Lord can be very harsh with us, and sometimes the Lord can be very kind to us. What's another example in which the Lord was a little bit hard with his devotee? Can anyone think? There's so many of them, actually, if you're looking. Junior Haridas, okay. What else? There are many, many. Daitiraj Bali. He surrendered. He was a demon. Demons aren't supposed to surrender, but even though he was a demon, he surrendered everything. And he had everything to surrender also, unlike us. We don't have anything, and we're still attached to it. So he gave everything. And after that, then the Lord tied him up like an animal. Publicly humiliated him. Just see. And this is after Bali Maharaj had ignored the fact that Vamana Dev actually cheated him. In a court of law, it would be considered some kind of cheating. And he surrendered honestly unto the Lord, and still he was treated like this. Of course, it's not over until it's over. That's another thing. We don't know when it's over. It keeps going on, this drama. So this is a reason why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exemplified the attitude that we have to try to cultivate as poorly as we can, that Ashlishiva pararatam pinashtumam adarshanat marmahatam kurotuva yatha tatha va virthatu lampato mat prananathastu sa eva naparaha. He may embrace me very kindly or he may trample me. Either way, I accept him unconditionally as the only Lord of my life. So this is instructive on so many levels. We can expect sometimes the Lord may be giving us something that we don't want. And he doesn't give us a choice about it also. He has that right. And we have to simply eat that. That's what Lochana Das Thakur said. Apana karma bhunjaye shaman. Koha ye Lochana Das. Yeah, Lochana Das. I just have to eat it. If Krishna wants to give you a hard time, you have no recourse except one. What is that? This is the reason that devotees, especially here in Vrindavan, sometimes they prefer to take shelter of the soft mercy of Srimati Radharani, because she's a little bit more soft. And she's also a devotee. She empathizes with the rest of us. She's the best of them. She's the best of the devotees, but she knows what it means to be a devotee. And she knows what Krishna's nature is. She is the one who actually spoke this verse. Before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke it, she spoke it. Her friends came to her and said, look, he's not coming back from Mathura. You know, what? You're killing yourself. Just forget about him. He's no good. His friends are coming, probably Lolita and her friends. And she said, yes, I know, yes, yes. Lamparta, Lamparta is a pretty strong word. It means he's a rascal. Reprobate, cur, cad. How many words can you find for it? Really a rascal. Debauch, Prabhupada sometimes translates it. Yes, I know he's like this. What can I do? Saiva napara. He's the only one who is my prananata. I have no one else. This is the glory of Srimati Radharani's surrender. She can take this. But for that reason, she does understand what the devotees feel when Krishna is a little hard sometimes. But here, for now at least, that Krishna was very considerate of Indra's false pride, and he didn't publicly humiliate him, although his behavior even in private would certainly have made Indra feel terrible enough to get the message very clearly, as we've described, the things that Krishna told him. It's very clear. Indra knew that Krishna knew, and the message is unmistakable. So this is what we can do. We can try to cultivate this spirit. We can recognize that Krishna actually has no obligation to do anything that we want. There's another nice shloka Rupa Goswami gives in his Padyavali. He says, sometimes a devotee very ardently worships Krishna in all sincerity. He may be a pure devotee also. And still Krishna doesn't fulfill his request or his desire for his own inscrutable purpose. But he says that in Vrajadham, even if you've not done any bhajan at all, without any question of what you've done or not done, you just have to exist here in Vrindavan. And Vrajadevi herself will give you Krishna bhakti. That's mercy. We say Mayapur is Audarya Dham, but that sounds pretty magnanimous to me. Vrajadevi. Vrajadevi ki jai, Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So this is our hope. We hope against hope, as at the Hariram Vyas, one Braj poet, he says, you can sleep peacefully with this assurance that if you're parked in Radharani's doorway, you're fine. There won't be any problem. So this is our nishtha, this is our hope. Against hope, Asha Bhanta, Rupa Goswami did. He defines it in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Na prema shravanari bhakti rapiva yogotava vaishnavo jnanam vashubhakarma vakiraho sajjati rapyastiva hinarthadhika sadhake tvaitatha apyachedyamula sati he gopi jana vallabhavyatayate ha ha mada shaivamam. Every day, gopi jana vallabha, I'm coming and crying in front of you. I don't have any prema. I don't even have any real attachment for the process of developing that prema. I don't have any background in pious activities. I've never developed any jnana. I don't know what is yoga. I don't have any recourse by any ordinary consideration to better my own condition. I'm helpless. I can only hope against hope and take shelter of your lotus feet with the assurance that you will be kind to me. So this is also a sentiment that it was echoed by the poet Vidyapati. He says, my life is like a tulsi leaf and I'm offering it at your lotus feet. And I know your mercy. I know you won't reject me. You won't kick me away. If we have this consciousness, then that much sooner Krishna will be kindly disposed. Just like he was here to Indra. He saw that Indra was really genuine in his remorse. And he came with all the humility that he could muster, and he tried to surrender at Krishna's lotus feet. And then now we'll see what happens after this. So we should stop now. I'm going to end a little early in case anyone has any questions or comments. Panchagota Prabhu.
Narada Muni was reciting that, Krishna, you're going to do this, and you're going to kill this demon, you're going to kill Kamsa. And he already knew all the activities, how would they come about. He's Trikalagya, just like Bhagavad Gita. Krishna was telling her, it's already happened, so you can participate. So if it's already all predestined, and Krishna just comes here to perform his leela with all these different activities, even while he's doing it, they all know what's going to happen in the future. Does it get a little bit like, where's the independence come into this whole thing? Where do we have the choices to make?
A perennial question. And one of Prabhupada's disciples, I think I mentioned this before recently, and one of Prabhupada's disciples came to him with this question. And, you know, because the logic is, logic tells us that if Krishna is all-knowing, then the jivas Krishna's all-knowing, he knows what you're going to do. If he knows what you're going to do, then where's your independence? You don't really have independence he's already aware of what you're going to do. So there was some back and forth on this, and finally Prabhupada just capitulated and said, okay, Krishna doesn't know. But we have our free will. Krishna knows what we're going to do, but we do have our free will. And he's just watching, and he's, as we know, upadrishtanu mantacha, he's just facilitating, depending on what we want, and then he's just waiting for us. Free will is actually there. It doesn't look that way, maybe, because Krishna's pastimes follow a set pattern, age after age after age, with some minor variations. And, you know, it all depends on the loving reciprocation of his devotees, but that's there. That's eternal reality, cannot be frustrated or logically deleted from the picture. Is that okay? Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much, Mukunda Prabhuji. My question is about which kind of mistakes Krishna does not forget. Like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that when we have kapata, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not forgive kapata. But if we are fallen or we are forced to do, we are conditioned, and then we are performing some, performing some mistakes, then Krishna forgives it, Guru Maharaj also forgives it. But when it is kapata, we are knowingly doing some mistakes again and again. So in that case, how it is, when Krishna does not forget, or what should we do in that condition if someone has kapat?
The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth from heaven as if a gentle rain. So said Shakespeare. You can't predict what mercy is going to do. Sometimes the person doesn't deserve any mercy, and he gets it. Putana. That's the whole point of the verse. Aho bakiyam sanakala kutam jighansaya payayarapya sadhvi lebhe gatim dhatriyo chitam tatonyam kamvadayalam sharanam rajema. Where will I find a more merciful Lord than this person, Krishna? She came to kill him only, and she was going to poison him, and she was kapat for sure. She was cheating. Still, not only did she get liberated like the other demons and end up in the Brahma Jyoti, she actually went back to Goloka Vrindavan. How is it possible? It's unpredictable. That's why we say causeless mercy. Causeless mercy. It's a good thing mercy is causeless, because what would happen if it wasn't? If it was, you know, if there was a cause always, then certainly all of us would be very busily engaged in trying to manipulate Krishna, even more than we already are. So mercy is like that. It's unpredictable. You may or may not deserve it, but you get it. Or you may deserve it, and you don't get it. It's also, you know, this is how Krishna works, is inscrutable. He's independent. But he's always kind in the end. We just don't know when the end is. because it never ends. Yeah, Janardhan Maharaj.
Regarding the question of Panchagora Prabhu, if we surrender to a genuine guru, that means we're giving our own independence. Our duty as to be a good disciple is just to follow whatever the guru says. And therefore, we cannot misuse our minute independence if we have complete faith unto the orders of this genuine spiritual master.
Yeah. Yasya devi parabhaktir yatha devi tatha guru. It always comes to that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, but that's a big step, of course.
As you yeah. know. As Prabhupada says, if the disciple will not follow the guru, that means he's not a serious disciple.
And yet we still see sometimes Prabhupada is very kind to such person. That yeah. is the inconceivable thing.
Yeah.
That's why we have to just say that mercy is causeless. Yeah. There's no cause for him to be merciful. But he's still merciful anyway. It's amazing. It really, this is why we worship Srila Prabhupada. This is why we worship his representatives also. Any pure Vaishnava. They are like this. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhuva evacha patitanam bhavanebhyaha. This is their three qualifications. They have an ocean of mercy to give. They can fulfill any spiritual desire you have or material desire, if that's where you're at. And they are very kind to the fallen. Vaishnavas are the most valuable thing, actually. Most wonderful treasure. Okay, yes, Prito Prabhu.
Hi, Krishna. Another way came to my mind that according to Shastra, we have our independence, living energy. So that's there. On the other side, we also know that Krishna is inconceivable, Shastra says. So if you put these two things together, that, yeah, we can understand that in one sense, we have our freedom, we can go this way, that way, and Krishna still knows it because he's inconceivable. Yeah.
This is the thing that why Prabhupada is always saying, without achintya shakti, you cannot understand God. Impossible. Jiva Goswami's entire Shatsandarbha is predicated on this main principle, the achintya shakti. To be a theist, you have to admit, I'll never be able to figure this out. And still be ready to surrender anyway. You can figure out as much as you are able to figure out. That's okay. And it's encouraged. But at some point we have to admit that I will never be able to understand everything from Krishna's perspective because that position is already taken. Krishna is the only omniscient one. Yes, Satyanarayan Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Sometimes I wonder, when this discussion comes up about independence, what I'm missing, because Lord Krishna knows how we are going to decide, how does that limit our independence in any way? Just because he knows how we are going to
because
decide.
Because he's not interfering.
Right.
Yeah, that's the point. That's why I said, upadrashta anumantacha. He's just watching and facilitating. He's not actually interfering at all. Paramatma, yes. That's the characteristic of the Paramatma. So, yeah, we still have our independence. Means having that independence, it's never too late. So let's all use our independence wisely from this moment on. Okay? Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Yeah.